welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts, me, Raylene, and...
Me, it's Ariel. I feel like...
You sound so calm.
The way you said the intro today was so lovely and calm that it put me in a really nice calm mood as well.
That's beautiful. I feel very calm. Today is our first day of a new era where we are recording during the day, during the week.
It's
because
really
I successfully...
Exciting.
Got Mondays off of work, which has been a journey, let me tell you. I've been trying to get this for about a month and a half, and the circumstances just haven't quite lined up at my job. But now it's like, we have a day to like do the podcast and do all the things we need to do.
It's so exciting. For
just on this nice Monday.
We've been doing the podcast for 2 years now, which even that saying that sounds crazy, but
it's crazy.
We've been doing it for 2 years, and when we started the podcast, I was like, Raylene, I promise it will be worth your time. It'll be really fun. We'll have a really good time. And Raylene was like, all right, let's do it. But we didn't really, I don't think we really thought about it becoming such a big part of our lives and our weekly planning and weekly activities. And so, you know, we have to record a podcast every week, but it's not just that. There's all of this other stuff that goes along with it. And we've done it all on the weekends or after your work or sometimes before your work. Or I'll be, you know, when we moved, remember I was recording in my car, or I've recorded episodes like when I'm on trips. Like, we're just always shoving it into weekends and after work because, you know, Raylene actually has a job, has a full-time job.
Yeah,
unfortunately. But I just kind of wanted to thank all of the patrons, because I do think that if it wasn't for the patrons and for the support we get, Raylene couldn't have taken a day off of her normal job.
No, I wouldn't be able to afford it in any way.
Like, exactly.
Taking that much time off would just be like, nope, my life is falling apart.
Yeah, exactly. So we're really grateful.
Yeah, it's all thanks to you guys that now I can like do this. And did you hear how calm we were at the beginning? Like, we feel so good about this.
It's a new era. We were like, we'll record on Mondays. And you know what? We will have our weekends free, and we can take as much time as we need to on the Monday, and we'll get it all done. We did some stuff for the Patreon. Afterwards, we're going to do some stuff for the other thing or the book club or whatever. And we're like,
we've got lots of time. I've got so much time. I don't feel rushed. I was able to have a full weekend of just like relaxing and doing things that I wanted to do. And it was like, that's just so nice.
I know.
Not that I don't want to do the podcast, but it is like, it is a job. It's work. So it's nice to be able to just like, do nothing for
I
two
know.
Whole days. I love
it was
that.
Crazy. We were beside ourselves because we played Stardew on Saturday, and we kept thinking we needed to record Sunday morning. Like, we both kept realizing that we could sleep in and just do whatever. Raylene's like, what do you mean
it's
you sleep in, Ariel? We record at 1 or 2 your time. And I'm like, yeah, that's when I wake up. So...
I know it's funny, you're 4 hours ahead of me, but I feel like we like operate at the same time.
You're always like... awake before me, is all I'm gonna say.
Oh dear. Okay.
No, it's not true. I have a natural rhythm that wakes me up between 9 or 10. So I'm awake for a bit before you are, but not for much longer, really.
Not too much.
But I think today will be a nice episode. I found out just now you've got a book haul.
Yes, something happened. It's mostly very exciting because I was sent a package from a patron.
Australia.
from Australia. So I kind of want to start with that, but I did get a couple of other books, which I will explain the circumstances, and I feel like you will be okay with them. You won't shame me too much. So I got this beautiful message a few weeks ago when I was talking about Australian books that I wanted to read but couldn't get. And the beautiful Kate reached out to me and said, I could send you those books if you want. And I said, what are you talking about? That is so exciting. And a few other people actually, I think, commented on that same thread and were like, oh yeah, I was going to offer the same thing. So thank you so much to all you beautiful Australians who wanted to send me books. So I ended up telling Kate that I just wanted one of the books for now, because I felt guilty. I didn't want to make her send me two books. So I was like, I'll just pick one. And so I decided to go with Eggshell Skull by Bree Lee, which she sent me.
Oh my God.
It's so beautiful.
It's so
I absolutely
pretty.
Love this cover. And it's Australian books are so, I don't know if they're all like this, but it's very tall. Like,
oh yeah, like a trade.
Yeah, like a really tall trade paperback. Oh. And I'm just so excited to have this book because it is a memoir. I've been talking a lot about memoirs recently and how much I want to read them. And this one just sounds right up my alley, like stressful memoir. I love that. So thank you so much, Kate. But she sent me more than just this one book, which is what made it so exciting. She sent me another book. She sent me The Dry by Jane Harper, which is a mystery book that has been very popular here as well. Like in Canada, it also had a lot of traction. So it's kind of interesting. Like I immediately recognized it and was like, wait a minute. And I have been meaning to read this for quite a while. I just never quite got around to buying it, I have been interested in this book. So apparently it's a major motion picture now. I just see that on the cover. I have no idea. And also you could see on this copy, it has tons of awards stickers at the bottom.
So many awards. Which
I didn't know about that. So I'm like, I love having this Australian copy that shows all of the Australian awards it's won and stuff. So that is really cool. But she also sent me some chocolates, which I want to just give a quick shout out because they are so Australian.
Oh, really?
So they're Cadbury, but look at this. It's called a caramello koala. And I tried one, and it tastes basically like a caramel, which is something that we have here.
Yeah.
But she also sent these furry friends. Oh, it's just a bunch of different little Australian animals.
Oh, my God.
Well, there's also a kiwi on there. There's a Tasmanian devil. There's a kiwi. There's what looks like a porcupine and a kangaroo. Oh, echidna. It's an echidna.
That's amazing.
And I just love that. I wasn't expecting this wonderful treat, but that's the fun thing about being international and getting a gift from an international place is that's like, everything is so different. Like, I could send a packet of Smarties to someone in America and they'd be like, these aren't Smarties.
Right.
This makes no sense. What's going on? So I love that. I just love that. So thank you so much, Kate. Nice. It was such a beautiful surprise. And I'm glad the package didn't get lost in the mail because we were a little scared for a minute there that they were lost. So thank you so much for sending those.
I also
bought myself a couple of books. So I will continue to use this defense that I have a huge list of books that I want from that I've given to a used bookstore. And they always just tell me when one shows up.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm okay with this because I get them for half price because I have a huge store credit there because I always sell my books there.
Right.
So every time I get a used book, it costs me like $3 or $4. And
right.
I don't feel bad about that at all. And I'm very excited about this book as well. And that is Blind Willow Sleeping Woman by Haruki Murakami. But
love
look, I got
cover.
The beautiful new edition. I never know what I'm going to get when I show up. So I was pleasantly surprised that I got like the brand new copy.
You mean for the edition? I was like, do they just tell you that they've got one of the books from the list?
They're like, come on down. There's a book for you. I'm not going to tell you what it is. No, I always just assume it's going to be an ugly, crappy copy, but I got lucky this time. So very excited to have that. It's a collection of short stories. And I haven't read any Murakami short stories, I don't think, but I feel like he would be a great short story writer. So I'm really excited to eventually read that. And the next book is one that I bought new, but I did it because of you. You forced me to do this.
Huh?
And
what did I do?
It's because I had to buy Ballad for Sophie.
Oh my God. Yes!
I had to, Ariel. I had to.
Really?
And here's the reason. Because I think that this could very well be your favorite book of the year.
I
at
know.
This rate anyway.
Imagine. Raylene is shading me again.
I'm shading so you, but
it's like somehow at some point in the last, I don't know, a few months, Raylene got really sassy on the podcast, which she has always been with me, but public facing, she was nice to me. Something happened and now
something
she's
happened.
Like, feels okay shading me in public. It's okay. It's good for the podcast titles.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, you can't lie. You have only read two books so far this year.
I've read three.
Oh, so sorry. But I think you will agree that Ballad for Sophie is probably the most exciting one you've read so far, right?
It's 1,000% the best one.
Yeah. And since you said, like, the whole time you were reading it, you're like, I think this might be the greatest graphic novel I've ever read. And I'm like, how can I not get that? And my library does not have this book. Like, I was just going to get it from the library, but they don't have it. And I always suggest that they buy certain things and they never do. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and buy it. And so now I feel like I'm going to save this for just the right moment. Mm. Like I'm not going to read it quite yet because I just want to let it sink in.
Yeah.
I have
yeah.
this book and I'm so excited to read it.
So
everything you said made me want to read it.
Flipping through it, Do you agree with me that the art is almost unparalleled? Like, it's on a next level?
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Yeah. It also reminds, like, I feel like I've seen another artist who draws kind of in the same style, but I can't remember who it is or where I've seen it before.
It's so pretty.
So it's like, it's very pretty, very cool. Like, the coloring is incredible.
Yeah.
Like, it's just well done.
Stunning. I can't wait for you to read it. Okay. You know what?
I'm also very excited.
I'll allow it.
Thank you. I know that was like, ooh, this is the most expensive book I'll probably buy all year, but I'm okay with that because I need to have this specific book.
I actually, Raylene, I'm glad you brought up Ballad for Sophie because I'm prepared to talk about it in every episode for the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. I have been tagged in so many things on Instagram of people reading the book. And, this is a beautiful casualty of or occurrence of being like a person who talks about books on the internet. Like, it happens all the time, right? People tag me in photos and they're like, I read this because of Ariel. But every so often, one of the books I talk about like catches fire with people, and I'm like, I must have talked about that really convincingly. Like, so the last one before Ballad for Sophie was Sheets. I got tagged in so many Sheets. I can imagine. And then, like, people like sharing it on their stories and stuff. And I was like, that's really good. Cause like Sheets and Brenna, absolutely. But fantastic. It has been crazy the last few weeks with people tagging me in Ballad for Sophie. And so the fact that you also just bought it, I'm like, I must have pitched it well.
You did. Everything you said was just like, wait, I've never read anything quite like this. Yeah. It sounds so good. The art is so good. And, you compared it to The Queen's Gambit at one point, and I was like, frick, I have to get this. Like, I positively love that story. So, like, if it's even a little bit similar, like, I need that.
I'm really excited for when you read it. If we'll revisit that kind of analogy and see if you see what the connections I saw. But also, the other thing I will add is that everyone who's tagging me is liking it. And people are, like, most people are loving it. And I haven't seen anyone who's, like, disliked it or anything. You know? Like, people are like, whoa, this was actually really good. So I'm like, yes!
And this, it makes me especially happy that this is happening with this book. Because I feel like if you hadn't randomly picked it up and read it and loved it, I probably would have never even heard of this book.
I know.
But I love discovering those hidden gems. And, like, it's just cool that we can, you know, kind of help push this book into the world more.
Absolutely. So I'm really excited that you got it. I didn't know you were going to get it. That was a surprise. So I'm really excited.
I know. It was a surprise. I picked it up a couple of days ago. I made a special trip to the mall to go pick it up because it had arrived. I was supposed to do it today, but it turns out the mall opens at the same time we were starting to record today. And I was like, no, what am I going to do? So I got it a couple of days ago specifically for this moment.
Love it.
I couldn't pass it up.
Love it.
So yeah, that's it, though. I only got those four books. More than I expected to have, but okay. I'm happy that I have all of them.
Are you keeping a spreadsheet of all the books that you buy?
Yeah. Actually, it's kind of funny if you look at it. Like, it seems like I haven't bought that many, and then I look at my spreadsheet, and I think I've bought, like, 21.
Let's do it. Let's talk about it, because I think that this is fun. I think this is the kind of content that people can really relate to.
I agree. I'm just pulling up my spreadsheet
here. You guys, if you've listened to the pod previously, you know that we have spreadsheets. Actually, we had a couple patrons, remember, asking us if we would share our spreadsheet, and so did. It's on our website now. If you go to booksunboundpodcast.com, because we had a lot of people who were like, you know, can you do an empty version that we can download and use? So if you go to the website, in the navigation bar, there's an item I've now called Stuff. So just for the random stuff that people want from us, you can check out our book cataloging spreadsheet there and you can download it. I put in two sample titles. Hilariously, the first one is Ballad for Sophie.
there you go.
But I put in some sample titles just so that people could see what it looks like when we fill out a whole category. But we have what we track our reading with, but also our purchasing tracker. because last year we were talking a lot about, you know, what are the books that we're buying and like what is our consumption looking like. It kind of feels like, Raylene, this is like you and me have synced up somehow. This is like our year of finance, because we did our frugal February and now we're like, we're really tracking our purchasing of books this year.
Yeah, and I'm like doing it successfully. I've done I've tried to do this for the past 2 or 3 years, and every time I give up after like the first month because I get overwhelmed by how many books I'm buying, and then I just don't want to know. At that point, I'm like, I actually would rather not know. But this year, I want, you know, even if it's ugly, like even if it's a high number, like I want to know that, because it'll help me reflect upon it and maybe do better next year.
Exactly. You know? So I pretty purposefully didn't set a buying goal this year. So when we set our resolutions, I didn't have one that was like, I don't want to buy books, I don't want to buy that many yet. I don't have anything on me. I'm trying to avoid buying hardcovers, because that was I feel like that was a really good lesson we took from last year.
Totally.
But other than that, I'm just sort of going with the flow and seeing how I feel. But it is interesting. So I will reveal right now in this moment, I have this year bought 28 books. Whoa. Remember, I've read 3. Although, Raylene, this is interesting. Okay, this is interesting. I think this is interesting. The 3 books I've read this year were books I bought this year.
Okay, I was going to ask if that was the case.
So even though that still doesn't make up for it at all, because I'm like, it would only make up for it if I'd read something like 20 of the books I've bought. But it is interesting that I am reading, when I do read, it's the new books I've bought.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
Okay, well, my comparison is actually kind of hilarious. Okay. I have bought 21, which is probably more than you thought I did, because there's some that I just haven't bothered. Well, actually, I haven't actually bought all of them, because 3 of those were gifted to me, but I've acquired. This is what I call this, books acquired is the name of my spreadsheet.
Because I also have 4 gifted here. I have a bunch that are gifted and stuff, but you're right, I'm putting it in. Should I change the on our sample one to acquired? Maybe.
If you want. But I've read 22 books. Although technically I've only read 21 that were off of my shelves, because I read Bad Blood, which was one and only book so far I've read that I don't own.
So you bought as many books as you've read, basically. Exactly. But how many of the books you've bought this year have you read? Do you know that?
I have a line for it. And one of the books I bought was The Vegetarian by Han Kang, which I read years ago. I just didn't own a copy. So technically, I've read that one, but not this year. And then the only other one that I've read so far that I've purchased is Among Others by Joe Walton, which I just finished yesterday. So I guess I was going to talk about that later. But I've acquired a lot that I'm like, I don't know if I'll read them this year. There's some classics in here that I kind of just want to have and read eventually. Like Les Mis, The Grapes of Wrath, Vile Bodies by Evelyn Waugh. Like, these are all books that I'm like, I might not read them this year, and I'm okay with that. But we will see. It'll be interesting to see this at the end of the year, because I'm going to keep track. Every time I read one of the books that I've bought this year, I will put it in there. But what I think is cool, well, not cool, but interesting about mine, is that I've done a pretty good job of not buying new books. Out of the 21 that I've acquired, 52% have been thrifted, 28% have been used, and only 19% are new. And some of them weren't books that I purchased. Like the ones that I got from Kate were both, I think, new books. So I put them in as new. So that kind of skewed it up. But
Say again, what percentage are new?
19%.
Wow, yeah, okay, that's so interesting.
Yeah, and I'm sure that'll shrink more as the year goes on, because they just had a spike recently, because I added in Ballad for Sophie and then the 2 books from Kate. So
I also have a couple statistics here. So 76% of my books are new.
Ooh, ouch.
The other piece of data that I am collecting, and I can't yet make any I haven't put it in a chart, because I actually don't know how to put this into a chart, but I'm writing down how many pages every book has that I buy.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Because I have a theory that I buy books that are mainly under 200 pages long.
And so you put in like ranges of what the
That's the thing. I don't know how to set up ranges on an Excel spreadsheet. So I need you to do that, or Connor to do that, because I don't understand it. But looking at it just visually, like, so many of these books are in the 100 page range. So it's like 170 pages, 140, 139, 191. So there's definite. So I think that'll be really fun to see at the end of the year. Like, what size totally. Are the books I'm buying, you know?
Yeah. I was going to say I could try that too, but I kind of, it doesn't matter to me because I know that it'll be all over the place.
Yeah, I just think that's interesting.
Yeah, the only other piece of data that I think is kind of interesting for me is the paperback versus hardcover thing, because I know you and yes. I both wanted to buy less hardcovers.
Yes.
And my percentage as of right now is 90% paperback.
Wow.
10% hardcover. This so I've only gotten two hardcovers. One of them was The Vegetarian. Which okay. I've already read, and it was used. I got that one used, so that was cheap. And then Indians on Vacation by Thomas King that I hauled last week was also a hardcover. But they're both used. Like, I haven't bought a new hardcover yet, which I think is key. I really don't want to buy a new hardcover. Although, I think that the new releases that I've pre-ordered are probably going to be hardcovers. Latvona, mm-hmm. yeah, that'll be a hardcover.
That's
so
yeah,
it's going to happen. But I use gift cards for those, so I don't feel bad.
I've bought more hardcovers than I thought. I've bought 29% hardcovers, but interestingly, almost all of the used books I bought were hardcovers. And then
that is interesting.
One of the hardcovers I bought was, do you remember that little Virginia Woolf book I got? And that was like really cheap. It was like just a little like gift book. So that's interesting. Oh, this is so fun. I love these sorts of data points.
So fun.
Interesting.
But yeah, I feel like that's all I've got for data as of today.
Cool.
That'll be interesting to revisit later on and see where
we're at.
Yeah,
that was fun. So did we just start talking about that because you did a little book haul? Is that it?
I think so.
Okay.
It was natural. It was beautiful. Well, I think it's about time we jumped into what we've been reading. Cool. Have you finished anything since we last spoke?
I think so, but I forget. Last week, you need to help me.
It's easy to forget.
Last week, was I reading or had I yet finished The T-Shirts I Love by Haruki Murakami?
You were currently reading it.
Okay, I finished it.
You called it and you were reading it.
Yes,
wow, okay, so how was it?
I finished it. I really enjoyed it. I read it super quickly. I think at most it was 3 sittings. And, it would have been easily 1 sitting if it would have been just a bit longer. But I just kind of sat down in 3 little chunks and knocked this one out. I do have some criticisms, not like negatives, but just criticisms, right, of the book. Mm-hmm. So one is that I didn't realize when I bought the book or around the marketing of the book that this was a compilation of articles he'd written for a magazine. So there's a magazine that he was doing an interview for, and they were, I think they were talking to him about his books, and he mentioned in passing that he also loves t-shirts. And they were like, whoa, would you want to maybe do a column on your t-shirts? Like, they're like a cool magazine. So they were like, we'll just take photos of your shirts and you just have to write like a little blurby story thing. And he was like, sure, like that sounds cool. So he did that for a while. I don't know if it's still ongoing or what, but he did that for a while. And then this book is just a collection of those. So why is that? That wouldn't really matter. That wouldn't be a positive or a negative, except that near the end of the book, it started to feel a little repetitive. And I was like, I think it wouldn't feel repetitive if you were reading this in a magazine once a month.
Yeah.
You know?
Or if he had written it differently for the book.
That's what what I mean. Yeah. I was like, if he had set out to write this as a book, I think it would come off less repetitively with a little bit more of a through line, a little bit more of a narrative. But because it was just this collection of things he'd written for a different project, it did feel a little repetitive. It did feel a little bit, not pointless, but just random, right? And so then the other, not criticism, but like criticism, is that the essays did feel really short. Like calling them an essay, I don't even know if you can call it an essay because it didn't even really have a point, beginning, middle, or end. It was, where's the thesis statement, Raylene? I'm kidding. Essays don't need to have thesis statements. Actually, if you're one of the people who watches my video on how to write an essay, your essay should have a thesis statement. We're talking about, oh God, I got onto thesis statements. I'm so sorry, Raylene. I'm talking about like creative writing, right? Like a creative essay doesn't need to have necessarily a thesis statement. But a lot of these stories felt really like, I don't know, it's so short. They just felt so short. And so it was kind of literally just like, Imagine you're walking around a store with Haruki Murakami and he points at a shirt and he's like, oh, that makes me think about how much I love giraffes. Anyways, and then he points at another shirt and then he says that. So you're like, yeah. Wow, these are really short thoughts. And again, I think it's because it was for a magazine and I could completely imagine it in a magazine being like one page thing or a side column thing and not feeling too short, just feeling like it was purposeful. Right. But for a book, it felt a little short. So all of that being said, I still give this book probably like a 4 out of 5 because I really like Haruki Murakami. I really like his nonfiction writing. I really liked the photographs of the thing. But I wanted to mention that because it's a hardcover book, so it's kind of expensive. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, if you're thinking about reading this, I would say, unless you're a really big Haruki Murakami fan, unless you, like, you know, have no problems buying books, then probably loan this one from the library before you buy it. Or, like, wait, well, I don't know if this book will actually ever come out in paperback because it's more like a
gift. I was just thinking it kind of sounds almost like a little coffee table book, like the type of thing that would just be like, oh, you can flip through it. It's not necessarily meant to be read from cover to cover. Yes, exactly. You know?
I think you're totally right. So just to set expectations, do you know what I mean? I still really enjoyed it and it really made me want to read more nonfiction from him. I don't know if he has more. I'm sure he does. I just don't know about it.
There's that music book that I got not too long ago.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he really has a book of essays. I would love it if he did. Because I agree. Like, I loved reading his memoir.
Yeah.
And I have the same feeling about Stephen King. Like, I wish he had more nonfiction books. Because, like, On Writing was so good.
Yes, exactly.
Because they just have such interesting minds, those guys.
It says he has a book called Underground.
Oh, I have that book too. Yeah, I knew there was another one.
The Tokyo Gas Attack and the Japanese Psyche. That sounds really good.
Yeah, I'm excited to read that one.
And then what I talk about when I talk about running. Okay, I need to do a bit more research because what's really funny is that I haven't actually read one of Haruki Murakami's novels. I've read half of the Wind Up Bird Chronicles back in my undergrad. That, to be fair, that book is like 600 pages. And it was for a course, so I just had to move on. I was like, I'm sorry, I need to go read the next thing. But I think I would really like reading more of it because it felt so good to be back in his writing, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, again, I've talked a long time about a short book, but there you go. I did read it. So I've read another one of the hardcovers I bought. That's good.
That's good. I love that you're doing that, that you're reading the books you're buying. That's really cool. I haven't really been doing that yet. We'll see. Because I've been wanting to read the books that have been on my shelves for a while. Like,
yeah,
that's kind
of
like the in different my head. Priority. It's like, oh, I just got that one so it can wait. But I also would like to read the books that I just bought. Like, that's why we buy them. Oh
my
man.
God.
I'm all mixed up. Well, I guess, though, the book that I mentioned earlier that I finished, Among Others by Joe Walton, that was the only book I've read since we last spoke. I was just starting it when we recorded last week, but I finished it yesterday, and I had just bought that, so that feels pretty good, too.
Mm.
But I read that for a book club. We haven't had our meeting yet, but I just finished it, and I really liked it. It's just to remind everyone, it's like a boarding school book that kind of has light magic going on.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it has
yeah.
magical vibes, but you don't really know what the magic is. And, like, the way the character talks about magic is so interesting. And, like, something terrible happened with her mom, who is, like, a witch. And then she has these three aunts on her dad's side who she suspects are witches. And they, like, they have these weird moments where they're like, oh, you should get your ears pierced. Like, I bought you some earrings for Christmas. And she's like, no, I refuse to get my ears pierced because it'll mess with my magic. And it's like, whoa, what's going on? So it has, like, these moments, but it's told in a diary format. And so there's not a lot of, like, action and plot necessarily because she's just, like, reflecting on her day-to-day life. And she loves reading books, which I mentioned before. And it's just very calm. Like, after finishing it, I was like, nothing really happened in that book, but I really liked it. Like, it was just a very, like, calm, moody kind of book. It's set in England and the main character is from Wales originally. Mm. And so she talks about Wales a lot and it was just nice. Like, it was just a really nice book. No stress, not a lot of, like, conflict necessarily. It's just calm and about books, and I really liked that. So if that sounds up anybody's alley, I would recommend it.
Can you say the name of the book again?
Among Others by Joe Walton.
Right. I I'm remembering a while ago, many months ago, we did a recommendation request that was like, they were looking for a book with no conflict. Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
I don't remember, and it was really hard, but I guess this is one that could be added to that person's
totally
list.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was so chill. Like, it's been a while since I read a book that was like, wow, like nothing bad happened at all.
I did feel that way about Haruki Murakami's t-shirts I love as well. Nothing
yep,
bad
I
happens.
Understand why. Fantastic. Well, since you finished that, have you started reading anything else?
No. If I'm being honest with you, Raylene, what's been going on? Oh, I feel so, it honestly feels like I'm losing my mind over here. Like, it just feels like there's so, Raylene's like, oh my.
Uh-oh, that's scary news.
Well, it just feels like everything's so busy in Ariel's land, Ariel's sphere, that it shocks me when we record. It honestly does. Every time we record the podcast, I'm like, ah, fuck, how has it been another week?
How have I not done anything since last week in terms of reading?
So much reading to do, and I haven't done any of it. And I'm like, how has so much time gone by already? So I haven't started anything new yet. And I've got some books that I'm like wanting to read or needing to read or whatever. So I went to New York, right?
Yeah.
And the week before I went to New York, I barely read because I was so busy making sure that everything was prepared for my trip. The week of New York, I didn't do any reading because I was traveling. The week after New York, this past week, I haven't read at all because I've been so busy catching up on everything that since I was gone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm not, you know, maybe a more organized person would have found the time to read or whatever.
Yeah.
But my point is that for me, that's been my experience. And I just haven't
just didn't happen.
It hasn't happened. But I'm so excited about this week. I was just saying this to my friend. I was like, I'm so excited about this week. I think this week is going to be so good. And they're like, why? Oh, and yeah. I was like, nothing's happening. I'm like, there's that's actually awesome. Nothing going on this week. And I feel like I've caught up with work. I feel like, I'm settled in again, and I can just kind of do my normal thing. So I want to believe that some reading is going to get done.
Oh, that would be so cool for you.
I also, here's a spoiler. If everything goes according to plan, I will follow every restriction, guideline, recommendation, and I will do what I am told to do. But if everything goes according to plan, I will be attending one of my best friend's wedding in the first week of May in England. This is a wedding I have been trying to get to for 2 years.
Yeah, I've heard all
so
about this.
It was, you know all about it, but it was supposed to happen in May 2020. Obviously,
yeah,
no. So then it got rescheduled to May 2021. Obviously, that didn't happen. So now it's been rescheduled for May 2022. And literally, I have bought flights multiple times. Thankfully, I've gotten a refund every time. So it's been net fine. You know, I haven't lost money or anything. But it's so important to me that I go to this wedding.
Yeah.
I am actually the maid of honor at this wedding, and
you have to get there.
I have to be at the wedding. And so anyways, if something happens with political or COVID or whatever, and I'm not supposed to go, I won't go, but if things go according to plan, I've decided to go to the wedding, and I've decided to extend my trip and go for 2 weeks. So I'm like, if I'm going over there anyways, I may as well juice it up, Raylene. That's what I'm calling it.
Of course.
I better juice it up. So I'll be going to Paris for a week, and then I'll be in England for a week.
Awesome.
Will that happen? God, I don't trust
I
the universe anymore, but I
really
hope it happens. But why I'm explaining this is because I will be leaving end of April. I have a month before everything goes to crazy fuck again, and so I'm like, I need to jam in a lot of reading now in the next month.
You're not gonna be able to read
because
at all.
I don't think I'm gonna be reading very much in that trip again. So Anyways, why am I telling you this? Because you guys are in for the journey, okay? You're in for the entire reading saga. So what can I get done? You all have to be rooting for me for the next month.
What happens? How will you feel if we get to the end of the month and you say, guys, I haven't read a single book?
I'll feel so bad.
Will you be really disappointed?
Yes, I will be really disappointed because there's a couple of books that I really want to squeeze in here. There's a couple of projects that I really want to do, and in order to do them, I need to read books and stuff. So,
does one of those include my punishment? Maybe. I feel like we haven't talked about it in a while.
No comment. No comment. But it is.
The suspense is killing me.
I know.
Honestly.
It's underway, though. It's underway. Hopefully.
I feel like it'll be the end of the year, and you'll be like, finally, I'm ready. To display my punishment.
If I waited until the end of the year, it wouldn't be a punishment anymore. I don't know if that gives you a hint, but we'll see. Raylene's little face just went like, huh?
I'm confused. People, help me figure out what this means. I have no idea. I'll try and figure this out. I'll come back with a theory next time.
Okay,
if
cool.
I can remember.
So that is my big reading update, my life update. I also, while I'm at it, you know what? We're telling our feelings. I'm so glad that it's spring. Like, it's like properly spring here now. And obviously we had daylight savings, which I think should be abolished immediately and makes no sense.
Really confused me yesterday. Yeah. Really confused me for a minute.
Really confusing. It was 2:45 a.m. and I was like, oh, I feel a little tired. And I look and it's 2:45 a.m. And I was like, how did I stay up until 3? I was like, no, I stayed up until 2, which is still brutal, I guess. But I'm really hoping that the sunshine can shake me up a little bit and bring some joy back into this life of mine, because it's been so dreary the last few months, and I'm so excited that most of the days now are sunny. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like most days, it's like we're at that tipping point where like half of the days are sunny and half of the days are gloomy, whereas before it was like almost all of the days were gloomy. So I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, I agree, because when the sun is shining too, it makes you want to like go out and like experience life more and like go read outside and like go walk to a coffee shop or something. Like, there's just you feel more joy
absolutely,
like more joie de vivre. Yeah, happy to be alive. Yeah,
maybe that's what I'll call the podcast. Ariel and Raylene experience joie de vivre.
That's beautiful. Well, we'll see if any other drama happens in the next half hour.
Yeah,
there might be something more juicy. I am currently reading a book.
Cool.
And it's one of my mashed potato books that I planned to read this year.
Fantastic.
And I'm very excited to be reading it. Catch and Kill by Ronan Farrow.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I've been meaning to read this. I wish I still had the receipt in here of when I bought it, but I don't.
Is that fiction or nonfiction?
It's nonfiction.
Gotcha.
It's very scary nonfiction. I mean, it's not scary, but it's like really stressful to listen to. I'm listening to the audiobook for this, actually.
Okay.
And it is all about the reporting that led to taking down Harvey Weinstein. It's really intense because it's like, it's just scary to think how people who have so much power can just get away with freaking anything. And like, there was so much proof, so many people who like wanted to speak out, but just couldn't because they were too scared, or they did and they were shut down. And like, it's so like gross.
It is.
Just thinking about it, but it's a really good book. Like, the way it's written is really good. And I'm absolutely loving it. So that's what I'm currently reading, but I need to start reading some light fiction on the side or something, because like, this is just like my, when I'm like getting ready for work, I'm like listening to this.
Oh, God.
When I'm like driving to work, I'm like, oh my God. I'm absolutely loving it, but yeah, it's stressful.
Have you seen Last Night in Soho?
Not yet. I'm dying to see that, though.
Well, I watched it and I ended up not liking it very much, which
I feel like it got mixed reviews. Yeah. So I'm kind of like more intrigued than like, whoa.
Yeah. I was really surprised because there's so many elements of that movie that make sense that I would love it. Like, I love Anya Taylor-Joy. Okay. We all know
this secret.
But yeah. I love Anya Taylor-Joy. I also really love Edgar Wright, who directed it. Like, he did Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead, and also Scott Pilgrim. Like, so many movies that I really, really love. So I went into it being like, I think I'm really going to like this. I only watched it like a week ago or something. And I ended up feeling kind of bored throughout. Like, it's supposed to be a horror thriller, right? And I just was kind of like, huh? I was really not invested in it. I was really kind of like, eh, about the whole thing. But one thing I will say is that it kind of, it does make me think a little bit about the Harvey Weinstein situation, because like Anya Taylor-Joy's character is in the 60s and she really wants to be a singer and an entertainer, and she just, in order to try and achieve that, she ends up getting into a really toxic, horrible situation. And it's just like, it makes me think of what you're talking about, because it was just, it's like, a lot of the time, maybe people should have reported it, or they like, but like, it's never as clear as that, is it? Like, when you're in
exactly, because especially when it's going to like hurt someone's career or like take them down, and like they'll have nothing after this if they come forward. Yeah. Like, it's just nasty.
It is nasty and vicious and horrible. So, I did think that element of the film was really sad but interesting. Anyways, is that all you're reading right now?
That's it right now. Cool. But I guess I do want to, maybe it's not like a TBR challenge necessarily, but I'll just let you guys know what my next like thing is going to be. I've decided to do a project, which I will I'm going to explain my little project. I'm filming videos for Patreon, so if you're a patron, like, there's going to be a series of videos coming up, hopefully, if all things go according to plan.
Yeah.
But I decided recently that I wanted to try and read as many of my short books as possible, because I may have done something bad and ordered 10 books online. Luckily, it's from the Book Depository, so they're going to take forever to get here.
Funny
so
how I have... you conveniently bring this up after our big conversation about buying books, and you shamed me. Oh, yeah.
So my dollar amount of what I've spent is going to skyrocket as soon as those books show up, because I add them as I actually receive them.
Yeah, same.
So I don't want to think about that yet, because I don't have them. I've paid for them, but I don't have them.
You know what's funny? I also have been avoiding... I ordered like 4 books from my from a local bookstore, and I was like, oh, I have to go pick those up, and I was like, maybe next month. It's like, I don't want to add it to the spreadsheet yet.
I know, we're starting to enter denial already. It's only March, and we're already like scared to admit to ourselves that we bought books we shouldn't have bought. But yeah, when those arrive, I'll do a big book haul, and you guys, like, I think you'll understand why I did what I did when it, like, I feel like it's justified, but it doesn't matter. So my main challenge was basically to read 10 of my books before those 10 books show up, so that I can like break even.
Right. Yes.
But then, so I told myself, I'm like, oh, well, let's just have a look at what books I have that are under 200 pages. I'll just read all of those. It turns out I have 27 books that are under 200 pages. I also have 2 that are exactly 200, but I'm not going to include those.
Okay.
Because I want it to be under 200 pages. Yeah. So I'm going to be doing a TBR video that I'm filming actually right after we're done recording here, that is going to be all 27 of those books, outlining what they are.
That's really
fun. And then
fun.
From then on, I'm going to try and read all of them.
I love that.
I know that like when you make a TBR, it almost never happens. So I have a feeling that this will fall apart at some point, but I'm really going to try, because they're all books that I'm really excited to read. That's the thing. Like, they're all books that I've been meaning to read for a long time. And a lot of them are like 120 pages or like 150 pages, and that's really short.
Yeah,
like I can do that. I just don't know how long it's gonna take. That's
I was about to ask, do you have a time limit at all, or a projection of time?
Well, I specifically want to read 10 of them by like mid-April, like I guess by this time next month. Okay. Because the books, they say they're gonna show up around that time, but they never
they
do
probably
like
won't.
Usually
yeah.
It probably will take at least another month after that, but I'm trying to read 10 books by this time next month, I think, is kind of the main goal.
Gotcha.
And then the rest can, who knows what'll happen with the rest. But that's what I'm hoping for. So that's pretty exciting. So as of next week, hopefully I'll have read like 3 or 4 short books, but who knows?
I love that. So I do want to mention to everyone listening, if you want to follow along with Raylene's video journey of this mini challenge, definitely go join the Patreon. But if you aren't able to join our Patreon, of course, there are books Raylene is reading, so she will be updating everyone on the podcast. Like, we're not going to hide Raylene's reading behind Patreon. that's the whole point of our Patreon, right? It's a fun bonus, but the main stuff, like whenever we read something, it's still showing up on the main episode. So
absolutely.
I am so excited to watch that video though. Like, I'm curious what the 27 books are, you know? Like,
I know, right? I know. I had no idea that there were so many of them. That's what surprised me when I just sorted them by page count on Goodreads. And I was like, oh, no, there are so many of them. There's no way I could read all of these in the next month. Like, that's insane. Although some of them are like 50 pages. Like, I have two or three that are really, really short.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Cool. I might start with those just to give myself some little boost here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Turbo boost. It'll be fun. So yeah, that video might even be up by the time this episode goes live. So
oh, that's true. Yeah,
check it out. Check it out if you're on Patreon.
That's so cool. Yeah. Okay, so we did books we've read, books we've bought, books we're reading, books we want to read.
Data. We've done it all.
What's next? Oh, it's our recommendations. Let's do Bookolds. Let's do it.
And then we'll end it with the recommendations. Our recommendations are going to be fun today as well.
Cool.
Okay. So the Bookolds I am going with today is genuinely, I would say, Bookolds. This book is only 1 year younger than you and I. So it is old.
Okay.
Came out in 1995. And it is called The Liar's Club by Mary Carr. I don't know if you'll have heard of this one. I recognize the cover. I found, like, I just came across it and I recognize the cover. It won an award, which I can see on the cover, but I can't tell what award it is because it's a very blurry picture.
It won the Penn Martha Albrand Award and a finalist for the National Book Critics Circle Award.
Ooh, fancy. So this is a memoir or autobiography, one of the two, and it sounds like it really appeals to me because it sounds kind of like The Glass Castle by Jeanette Walls. So this is the synopsis on Goodreads. Mary Carr grew up in a swampy East Texas refinery town in a volatile and defiantly loving family. In this funny, devastating, haunting memoir, and with a raw and often painful honesty, she looks back at life with a painter mother, seven times married, whose outlaw spirit could tip over into psychosis, and a hard-drinking, fist-swinging father who liked nothing better than to spin tales with his cronies at the Liar's Club. So
this sounds good.
Me just it sounds so good, and now I'm like dying to get my hands on a copy of this book. I feel like since it did come out, you know, 27 years ago, I'm sure that I could find it in a thrift store. So this is the new one that I'm like hunting
for. I would love that.
This is my I'll be hauling it at some point. Yeah, the hunt is on. I'm looking for it now that I know I'm looking for it. So I think that this book sounds so good, and
it sounds
just right up my alley.
So good.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of Wild, like not the hiking parts, but the like her childhood part.
Exactly. Yeah.
I haven't read the
Glass
Castle.
Have you read The Glass Castle?
No,
I was just going to say I feel like you should.
I have
like
it.
That would be a good memoir for you to read.
I do own it. I thought it was fiction.
No, the thing is her other two books, like Jeanette Walls has two other books. Those ones I think are like half and half a little bit. Like I think one of them might be fully fiction and one of them is kind of like based on true life. It's called a true life novel is what it says on like Half Broke Horses. Is the subtitle is a true life novel. So
I just tried
take,
to look
take from that what you will.
I just tried to look it up on Wikipedia and I typed in The Glassel.
a classic
Glass Castle. When did it come out? This is not it. Glass Castle is a 2008 South Korean television series that aired from September 6, 2008 to March 1, 2009.
Who knew?
It stars ambitious and tough reporter whose life and career take a turn after she falls for a charming and persistent suitor and marries him.
Oh, that's interesting.
The cover is so funny. The cover is very 2008.
That's awesome. Well, The Glass Castle came out in 2005, so.
Okay. And how did you feel about the movie for that? I feel like we've talked about this before, but
I
you didn't like
love
it.
The movie. Okay, like, yeah. I liked it, but it definitely didn't have the same, like, heart and spirit that the book did. The book was just, like, phenomenal, outstanding, no notes. But the movie was kind of like, I don't know.
Okay.
Could have been better.
Liar's Club sounds really good. Also sounds like it could be good on audio, if that exists.
That's true. I'll have to hunt around and see if that is available on audio, because that could be really good.
Interesting.
So that's Bookolds. But it's time for recommendations. So this time around, we're doing something a little different. It's kind of like what we used to do this every now and then, where we would each choose a recommendation, and each of us would do our own individual recommendations. So, like, I'm doing one, you're doing the other.
Yep.
I think you should start with yours. And when you read it out, people will probably understand why I have nothing to recommend in this regard. And then same for the, yeah, for the other one.
Yeah. I mean, we get a lot of recommendations sent in and we love getting them and reading them. So thank you to mm-hmm. everyone who submits them. But, you know, a lot of the time we have no idea what to say to you. So we're like, we're not doing that one. Like when people are like, we need X, Y, Z. And we're like, whoa, we've never read that. That's so specific. Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of the time we just collectively can't do it. But sometimes one of us can do it, but the other one can't. And we don't do those mm-hmm. very often because obviously we both like to do it together. So
yeah,
these ones are those. So here we go. We got this message from Maria. Hello, Ariel and Raylene. Thank you for your podcasts. It makes my Sunday. Whoa! I love reading dedications and afterwards in books. Authors shouting out family, friends, partners, and other people that made the book happen. It's just so nice. Do you happen to know any books with memorable dedications or afterwards? Lots of love from snowy Russia. So this is very... I love this. And I don't remember where or when we talked about this, but at some point you revealed that you kind of skip dedications and afterwards, right? You don't
process them. Yeah, I pretty much never read them. That's just not something I'm interested in. I don't know.
Yeah, I love them. I read too much into it. I think it's so juicy and interesting. and so I've decided, Raylene, today to only focus on dedications because... Ooh, okay. Afterwards are kind of a whole different ball game. So I feel like in the future, when we get another one of these where there's one we find that's just for you, I'm going to come back to Maria's Ooh. And just do the afterwards.
I love that.
So I thought it'd be fun to just do dedication. So I have definitely read dedications before that I loved, but I couldn't remember what they were. So what I did was I went through all of my favorite books and I read all the dedications and I picked out some of my favorites. And then I just kind of flipped through a bunch of, I probably looked at like 40 different books and just read all the dedications.
Oh, wow.
It was really fun. So I'll start. I don't know. I just got a pile here. Dedications are short. So I just thought I'd do a couple. Fly on the Wall by E. Lockhart.
All right.
Ugh, one of my faves. It says, oh, yes, I love it. It says, for Daniel. Because this is my first romance. I don't know why I love that. I guess like E. Lockhart is saying that she hasn't like published a romance book before or that like she's kind of writing about her first romance and that Daniel is her first romance, her first. Yeah. I love that. I love him reading into that, you know? Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah. All right. The Sound of a Wild Snail Eating by Elizabeth Tova Bailey. It's a good one. I like this one. To Biophilia. That's what she did.
Oh, alrighty then.
So Biophilia, let's define this on Google. It is it's giving me really weird definitions. Did I type it in wrong? For some reason I assumed that was like plant life, but biophilia. But is that like the love of reading? Biophilia is an innate affinity of life or living systems.
So it's that makes the most sense because bio, that's what bio means. Yeah. Right? Like living.
Yeah. I love it. Or something. You see, it made us think.
That's beautiful. I love that. It's unexpected. You think it's going to be to a person and instead it's just to a concept.
Everybody Sees the Ants by A.S. King. This is one of the best ones. All right. The title of the book is Everybody Sees the Ants. The book is dedicated for everybody who sees the ants.
Oh. Yes, like you gotta read it to understand.
Exactly. I love it. So in the book, there's this character who sees these little ants and like it's magical realism. So it's not, they're not actually there or are they? That's the whole question. But he sees these little ants whenever he's stressed or whenever he's like thinking and they hold up little picket signs. Do you remember?
I love them.
And the little signs will say different things. It's sort of like things that he's thinking or things he couldn't say out loud or things he needs to hear. And so the idea of like dedicating it to all of the readers who, you know, can relate to it, I think is really lovely.
That is nice.
Okay, why did I get that one out of here? I don't remember why I picked that one up. Looking for Alaska by John Green. This had a really good one, really. So it says, to my family, Sydney Green, Mike Green, and Hank Green, I have tried so hard to do right. Brackets. Last words of President Grover Cleveland.
Oh.
So nice. There's a lot of reasons why I like this one. I like this one because I feel like John Green is an author that I respect so much and love so much, but it's also an author who I've sort of grown up alongside a little bit. Like, obviously, this book came out in 2005, so I would have still been in grade school and everything. But a lot of his career has happened over the last decade of YouTube times, and it's been so exciting and interesting watching him go through all those phases. So to think that this was his first book and that got published, that he dedicates it to his family, and I have tried so hard to do right, kind of really goes with the way that I picture John. Like, I feel like he's always trying to do the best he can for the world. But then also that is a quote from the last words of President Grover Cleveland. Like, this book is all about last words.
Yeah.
It's so clever. It's so clever. Okay,
That's a really good one.
One more, the final one. This is a book I haven't read, Crying in H-Mart.
Okay.
And I actually can't pronounce the dedication, because all it says is four, like, dedicated to four, and then it has a word, or I think it's a name, in Korean writing. And I can't read it because I don't know Korean. But I love that because already that's the point of this book, right?
Yeah, totally.
Like, it's a book between her and her mother, right? I don't want to mess that up. You have actually read it. It's a book between her and her mother and about her culture and her relationship to her culture as a mixed race person. And so I actually am obsessed with, like, let me just show it to you, Raylene, because you read the audiobook, right? I don't think you've maybe.
Yeah, I just listened to it on audio. So I'm sure that she says it in the audiobook.
So it says, can you see it on screen?
Yeah.
So it's just two little, it's like this blank page. I'm going to for sure take a photo of this for the Instagram, but it's just this blank page that says four. There's three little word or letters, so simple, and then under it, the Korean. I love that it's like this little block of one line of English, one line of Korean. Like, that mixed raceness is just right there. Yeah, I think it's so
true.
It's basically a poem to me, Raylene. I'm just like,
yeah, it is beautiful, and it's so striking. Like, that's the only thing on the page.
Yes, it is striking. So I had so much fun, like, flipping through all of these books and trying to find good dedications, and it just, like, I don't know. You know that I love that kind of crap. I love the kind of, like, para, like, the stuff that goes around the book. I'm so into it. So,
yeah.
I hope you enjoyed those. Do you have a favorite out of those, Raylene?
Ooh, I mean, the John Green one was really good. Yeah. I also really like the A.S. King one.
Ugh,
yes. Those, I feel like those two are good because I love that they connect to the books themselves as well.
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, a lot of layers there.
Yes, you've got to, like, really you said, you've got to read the book to understand the dedication, which is super cool.
Yeah, it's not just, like, to my family or, like, to my husband, which is fine, too. But, like, I like that there's a lot more going on there.
Yeah, I do love, like, I still feel a level of emotional when I open a book and it's, like, to Luke. And you're like, ah, oh, you love Luke, don't you?
Yeah,
it's so nice.
Luke is lucky to have you.
But yeah, it's definitely, like, I hope maybe that people will now kind of flip through the book they're currently reading and go and look at the dedication. And in a few weeks or months when we do this again, we'll go and do afterwards. Oh, Raylene's flipping.
I'm just going to see what we've got from Ronan Farrow. It just says for Jonathan.
Ooh, who's Jonathan?
Who's Jonathan? I don't know. I don't know Ronan Farrow well enough to know.
Okay, what was your recommendation?
Yes, so mine comes from Miriam, who says, I just started reading manga and would love some recommendations from Raylene or Ariel for someone who is just starting out. I got Wotakoi Love is Hard for Otaki, and I'm loving that, but I'm open to any genre as long as it has endearing characters and beautiful art. Love from Norway.
Cool.
So, by the way, I also picked
Raylene,
a few.
I just typed in Ronan Farrow Jonathan onto Google, And yeah. he's referring to John Lovett, who is an American comedian, and they've been together since 2011.
Oh, okay. I was wondering. I'm like, it must be his partner, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, it's his partner. I don't think they're married. But
that's so nice. It is good nice. For you. Okay. It's just so lovely. I'm like, that's what my dedication would look like. It would just be like...
Too airy. What?
Hang on. To my one and only love, Ariel Bissette. Oh, that's hilarious. Okay, so I picked 4 manga here, and they're all kind of a little bit different, but all very endearing and have beautiful art. So I'm going to start with Yatsuba.
Oh my god, this, it's so cute.
It's so cute. This is by Kiyohiko Azuma. And yeah, it's about this little girl who is like 5 years old, I think. She might be like 4, but she's just like this tiny little girl. And she's so cute. And she just like, it's just about her life. Like she lives with her dad. It's just her and her dad, but they have these neighbors that they hang out with quite a lot. And it's just really adorable. Like, I don't know any other way to put it other than that's adorable, but it's also hilarious. Like, there's some really great, like, kind of physical humor. Like, sometimes someone, because she's really tiny, sometimes she'll, like, want to go in the water or something, and someone will just throw her, and you'll just see her, like, flying through the air. And it's just, like, adorable and strange. And there are currently 15 volumes. I think the 15th one just came out recently, so I haven't read that yet. But I've read all of the other ones, and I just love this series. It's an all-ages comic, so... It's all very wholesome and adorable. So I recommend that because it's just so cute and I don't really hear people talk about it that often.
I love that.
The next one is Orange, which is by Ichigo Takano. And this is a series that has 5 volumes, so it's shorter and it's complete. I mean, there's also a 6th volume, but that's besides the point. It's like a bonus volume. And this one is interesting because it's slice of life, but it also involves time travel a little bit. The main character and her group of friends get these letters from their future selves.
Mm.
And in the letters, they're saying, you guys need to look after that one friend. Like, something bad is going to happen. You guys need to take care of him. And so they're all like, whoa, what's going on? And so it has, like, a level of mystery and, like, a little bit of stress. So it's not, like, it's not a through and through, like, super happy story.
Okay.
But the group of friends is just so, like, tight and nice. And it's so, I love reading manga that are just, like, about teenagers being teenagers and, like, just living their little lives. And
is there an anime of it?
There is, yeah. And the anime is also very good.
I think my mom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's very cute. And the art is incredible. Like, I absolutely love the art in this series. And it's just fantastic. I think probably one of the best arts.
Wow.
Yeah, I just love it. It's so cute and detailed and well-drawn. And, yeah, I just love the characters and their little group of friends. The next book... Next series I want to recommend is Goodnight Pun Pun.
Yes. I remember this
one. I love this series, and it's definitely weird. Like, I hesitate to recommend this one broadly just because it is very strange, and it's also quite dark at times.
Okay.
But all in all, like, Pun Pun is just this wonderful little character, especially at the beginning of the series. He's quite young, and the way that they're drawn, like, everybody in Pun Pun's family are like these little chickens, and so you can tell, like, that they're kind of different from everyone, but, like, they're in reality just normal people. But it's just, like, a tool that the author used, and while you're reading it, you're like, why did he do this? And it makes you think about it quite a lot. But Pun Pun himself is just such an endearing character, and I know I said that the art in Orange is one of my favorites, but I think the art by Inio Asano in Goodnight Pun Pun is it's so hyper detailed. Like, if you look up the art for Goodnight Pun Pun, it's like, wow, it's just incredible. And his creativity is unmatched, I would say, from what I've read so far in manga. Like, he takes it to a lot of, like, weird places and kind of surreal places. So it's very creative, but Pun Pun himself is just like, I have a special place in my heart for that little chicken. Absolutely love it. The series does go to some very dark places, though, so be prepared for that if you're thinking about reading the series.
Okay.
And then the last series I wanted to recommend is Your Lie in April by Naoshi Arakawa. And these ones also has a great anime. I got into these because of the anime. Like, I watched the anime first and then I decided to read them. This one is about music, which is really fun. The main character is a piano prodigy. Okay. And the story takes place after his mother died. And his mother was kind of like the person who overruled his like piano upbringing, and she was not nice. Like, she was a very stressful presence in his life, and so he's kind of recovering from that, and he meets this girl who is like, she just loves playing the violin, is her instrument, but he's like, he looks at the piano as kind of like a stressful thing because of the way that he was taught it. And he kind of like doesn't have that love for music that he should have. And she just loves music and just like is full of light and is super happy and uplifting. And so it's about their friendship, them getting to know each other and kind of him rediscovering his love for music. So it's just, it's beautiful. It's such a good story. I highly recommend the anime as well, but the manga is also very good. So
what was the name of that one again?
Your Lie in April.
That's my mom's favorite anime.
Oh, really? I was going to say, if your mom hasn't watched it yet, she simply must. It just screams your mom.
That's her favorite one, and she's always like...
so cute.
She's like, tell Raylene, I need another one that's like this one. And I'm like, okay.
I haven't found anything yet. I'm sorry.
I'm going to find something that's similar to it.
And it's like, the anime is great, too, because... you get to hear the music. Like, there's a lot of piano playing, and like, it's so beautiful to listen to. So like, the manga is great, but I think the anime has a leg up because of that, because you can't hear the music when you're reading the manga.
Of course not. Damn it.
And it's just, it's so impressive. The piano that gets played in that anime, my God, it's amazing.
I love that. Well, I think we nailed it, really. I think we actually did a really good job.
That was really fun. I don't feel like an expert on manga, but I'm like, I've read enough to
give solid recommendations. I mean, if one of your bookshelves is fully manga, I feel like you kind of are an expert.
It's not anymore, but yeah.
I guess.
There was a purge. It had to happen.
That's life.
Yep. That is life. Well, we are off to go record our bonus mini podcast, Books Unbucket, which is over on our Patreon. And the next few weeks, we're going to have some really good ones. The Discord has really been popping off. You guys have been giving us great suggestions. So we're going to go into this one from Kira, who basically just wants us to kind of go through the Rory Gilmore reading challenge and talk about that. See what we've read, see what is on there that we haven't read, whatever. We're going to just go through it and kind of chat about it, which I think is fun. It's over 300 books long. It's every single book that Rory Gilmore has ever mentioned, I think, in the TV show Gilmore Girls. So I think that'll be fun. I just finished watching Gilmore Girls a few months ago, so I feel like this is perfect timing for me. Perfect content. So that is what we're going to be talking about over on Books Unbucket. So
it's gonna be crazy.
I know it's gonna be crazy. That is it for today, and we will talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.